and we meet regularly, and we buzz with each other and find a theme that we feel we as a church family need, and that's how we come to our themes. And I've been landed with this theme: why do the Jewish scriptures matter? Why do the Jewish scriptures matter? I have a dear friend, and they, the husband and wife, they've adopted two children. And these two girls are growing up beautifully. They are just so lovely, jewels. And so excited about anything and everything. We were just talking, you know, about these two. I was speaking with the mum, and we were just saying how wonderful they have grown up and how well they are doing, having come and been adopted into the family. And the mother said to me, yeah, none of us know what any of these girls have been through. We don't know what they've had to suffer in the past. And I think many of us look at the Old Testament in that sort of light, whereby we know Jesus, we know the work Jesus did on the cross, but we don't know how the story actually began and how it has woven throughout the whole of life and creation, from the very beginning in Genesis right through to the book of Revelation. It's one book. It's not two books. I was so surprised when I heard one Christian whom I respected a great deal, being a young person at that stage, who said to me, I don't believe the Old Testament is relevant today. And I was struggling, you know, to read the scriptures myself. And it would have been easier just to forget about the Old Testament and go straight to the New and understand it a lot better that way. But I just thank God that I pursued the Old Testament and discovered lots of things there and why it's in the New Testament, why certain things have happened in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament, it's dealt in a different way. So I came to that place where I realized that the Old, or in the Old Testament, the New Testament is actually hidden in the Old. And of course, I get it wrong sometimes, but we find that the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old is revealed in the New. The Old Testament is revealed in the New. And so I want to encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters. Yes, there's a lot of scriptures that are not very exciting in the Old Testament, but don't worry about it. Just skim through. And then you'll come to places where it's like Israel, you know, when they traveled through the wilderness. Suddenly they came to the River Jordan. And suddenly they came to a pool where there was water, and they were able to drink water, fresh water that came from a spring. And the Old Testament is like that. There's a lot of excitement in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, suddenly the Old Testament becomes so relevant. And we understand why things are in the New as they are. I want to show you, just running through some scriptures. I've taken some scriptures that point to Jesus, because the whole of the Old and the New point to Jesus. Yeah? Beginning in the Old Testament. So we're going to begin with a reading from Celia from Genesis.
God addressing Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel.
God said, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you.
Hopefully you've seen the theme that's just running through this year. Margaret is going to read from Isaiah.
To Israel a sign will be given. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel.
We will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Ian is going to read now from Jeremiah 23, verse 5.
The days are coming when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, and a king who will reign wisely and do what just and right in the land.
A king who will reign wisely and do just what is just and right in the land. What sort of king would that be? Our Prime Minister? Stacey is going to... Sophie's going to read Daniel 2, verse 34.
While you were watching and rock was cut out, not with human hands, it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed it.
And Tracy is going to read to us from Ezekiel 17, verse 22.
I myself will take a shot from the top of the cedar tree and plant it.
God himself is going to take a shoot from the top of the cedar tree and plant it. And our last reading is from our Joyce. Joyce is going to read from Micah, nearly the end of the Old Testament, Micah 5, verse 2.
But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the armies of Judah, out of you will come one for me who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times.
His origins are from of old, ancient times. So we see there that Jesus is one whose origins are from old, ancient times. He was there in the beginning. The Word was there in the beginning, in creation itself. It was God. God the Word. God the Father. God the Holy Spirit at work together, hallelujah, in creation. So here we find that God breaks the mold sometimes. And we see that, he knew how things would work out eventually, putting in the garden there the tree of life, and telling them that they must not eat of that tree. Unfortunately, they broke that vow, and there was no hope for man. The promises flow throughout the Old Testament and into the New like a river. We see this river actually being mentioned in Genesis, where the Garden of Eden, God made this this garden. And the river flows from the temple in the garden. The river flows throughout the garden, watering the garden, bringing life. We see the same river again mentioned in Ezekiel 47. And Ezekiel speaks about this river becoming so wide and so vast that Isaiah couldn't pass over. And then we read of the same river in Revelation, when God is going to again bring a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, and a new earth. And that river flowing through, bringing life wherever it flows. I believe that this river mentioned in the Old Testament and then again in the New Testament refers to the promise, Jesus, who's going to come. Just examples of how God breaks the mold throughout the scriptures. In Numbers 21 and verse 8, we see that Israel journeys through the land of Canaan, where the king of Arad attacks and captures some of the Israelite soldiers. Israel pleads with God, and God comes on their behalf, and God fights on their behalf, and Israel destroys the land of Arad. Then they grow impatient and began to complain. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this desert? There is no bread, no food, and this food that you give us is miserable. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among them. And Moses immediately prayed on their behalf. And God, in mercy, says to Moses, make the serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And whoever looks at that pole and is bitten will live. Whoever looks at that pole and has been bitten by the snakes will live. In the same way Jesus came, and Jesus became a curse for us, because anybody who was put on a pole was cursed. He became a curse on your behalf and my behalf. And there he took our punishment of our sin. Hallelujah. He died in your place and in my place. And whoever looks to Jesus will live, the Bible says. Whoever looks to Jesus will live. Moses prayed and asked, make the snake, and put it on a pole, God said. And anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. God provided hope. Throughout the scripture, the promises are hope to Israel, but hope through Israel to the whole world being saved, or the opportunity of being saved. I believe that there's God broke the mold when, imagine with Enoch, there's not much about Enoch in the Old Testament, but it's there. In the New Testament, in Hebrews 11 and verse 5 to 6, it says, Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not, for God took him. I love that. I love it. It was like when I fell in love, you know, I decided I don't want to let go. And I just wanted to live together. I wanted to be together. I didn't want any separation whatsoever. God's been good to me. Anyhow, God just said to Enoch, I can't stand you being away. Come home. Come home. The same with Elijah. The Bible says that a chariot of fire came and whisked Elijah away. Hallelujah. Moses, when Moses died, he went up on the mountain. He went to die. Nobody knows what happened to Moses. When he didn't come after many days, they went up and looked for his body, but they did not find Moses. We find that Moses and Elijah came to the Garden of Eden, Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane, yes. And there they appeared to Jesus and encouraged him when he was about to face the cross. God breaks the mold. Folks, we serve a living God. He's alive. He's alive. He speaks to us so clearly. And we can trust him when he speaks to us because God appears to his children. Hallelujah. Those whom he loves, he loves us so much. I can imagine that sometimes he, I don't know about you, but with me, he would say, oh, William, why do you let me down? Oh, when are you going to, he said to one of the disciples, how long must I bear with you? How long must I bear with you? You know, and I believe there's sometimes when he says, well done, William, and oh, man, I feel good. But there's other times I know when I must disappoint him dearly. And then there's Noah. when God was about to destroy every living thing on the earth. Now listen to this. Yeah? Noah built an ark. How did he build the ark? God told him to build an ark. Why? Because he developed a relationship with Daddy. And through that relationship, Noah built an ark on Mount Ararat. Madness. How can anybody build an ark on the mountaintop where there is no rain? He was the laughing stock. I know that some of you have experienced that in your life here and now. Some of the young people are afraid to own up that they belong to Jesus simply because of all the teasing and what happens at school. But praise God that there are those who make a stand, who say, it doesn't really matter. I'm here not to please my friends, my family. I'm here to please God. I'm here to please God. Hallelujah. And I can imagine the smile on God's face. Oh, there must be times when heaven must be full of light because of the smile that just comes from Daddy, from Jesus, and from the Holy Spirit as well. And then there is Abraham. I love that. In Hebrews 11 and verse 8, I found a lot of verses in Hebrews 11 about the men and women of the Old Testament who made a stand, who became witnesses to the reality of God in their lives. And here we find that Abraham, it simply says this, Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Somewhere in the New Testament it says, without righteousness, we will not see God. Without righteousness, we will not see God. And what makes us righteous? Simply our faith and trust. Our faith in God, living out the Word of God in our lives. So God breaks the mold. So don't be concerned or worried when God calls you to do something that you are not used to. Something that you might be even afraid of. God led me from Africa here to UK. And in the most wonderful way, he has done so much in my life that I'm just so thankful for. He turned my life upside down, back to front, hallelujah. He made me a new creation, a new creature. I remember my first girlfriend that I went out with, and her mum and dad heard that she was having a relationship with me, and they stopped her because of my dad, who was an alcoholic. And I thank God, hallelujah, that I'm not like my mum, I'm not like my dad. I've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And my aim is to become more and more like Jesus. My words, my actions, all that I am, I want to reflect Jesus in every area of my life. The second thing I see there is Jesus is the living Word of God. The living Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. In chapter 13 of chapter for this message, and verse 32 says this: what God promised our ancestors, He fulfilled in the Old Testament for us by raising Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus came and He did all that He could do. He died on the cross in your place and my place. But He died as an ordinary man, as a man. He took upon Himself flesh and lived among us. He became a man, one of us, and lived among us. And when He died and was buried in the tomb, He could not raise Himself. Surely, this was the Son of God. In John 8 and verse 51, we read these words. Jesus says, if a man keeps my word, he will never see death. If a man keeps my word, he will never see death. My dear brothers and sisters, you want to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ? It begins in the Old Testament. The promises are right through the whole of the Old Testament, flowing into the New Testament. And there Jesus stands among us. Hallelujah. He is risen. Jesus says, if a man keeps my word, he will never see death. John 8:51. And then the third point, Jesus supersedes all. He is the Savior. There is no one else. He is the one and only. And through the Old Testament, the promises all streamline in Jesus, the Messiah. Come to deliver us. Born to be our Savior, our Lord, and eventually our King. Hallelujah. Oh, and may, if anyone hasn't crowned Him Lord and King, oh, may you open your heart. There is so much in the Scriptures, in the whole of creation, that has been written down so that we can read, we can understand, and we can open our hearts to receive God's promise hope. Jesus is that hope that we see in the New Testament. Well, in chapter 13, verse 41, this is what the prophet says. Look, you scoffers, wander and perish. I am going to do something in your days that you will never believe. It's amazing. how there are so many people who will not put their faith in Jesus. I've heard folks saying to me, yeah, I believe in God, but Jesus, no way. He was just a man and cannot save anyone. You scoffers, wander and perish. I'm going to do something in your day that you will never believe. That you will never believe. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, God says this. This age has the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. So many pick and choose. And of course, they cannot see the light of the gospel because you can't pick and choose. God's word is full and overflowing. God's word is hope from beginning to end. And the end is Jesus. Well, see there that the final death is the finality of for every one of us. We've got to face death. There is no way for beyond that. Death is something no one can avoid. Yet in chapter 13 and verse 36, we read these words. The one God raised from the dead did not see decay. Did not see decay. Jesus came to take my place and your place before God. He was condemned to death in your place and my place. He became a curse for us on the tree, the cross. But on the third day, God, who is the judge of all earth, raised his son. Hallelujah. And so everyone who looks upon his son will not die. Hallelujah. Yes, it'll be like a sleep. When we open our eyes, we'll see Jesus in all his glory. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. This is John 11 and verse 25. Jesus said to Martha, after raising Lazarus from the dead, he says this, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he die. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. So our death just becomes a sleep, a matter of sleep. There's no need for us to be afraid. I remember one day, and I close with this. One of my deacons in one of the churches, this Jamaican lady, she announced that she had cancer, and that it was was imminent. And of course, I'm really distraught, you know. This lady meant a lot to me, and she was a great help. And I went afterwards, and I said, oh, Gwen, I said, I'm so sorry. William, she says, William, you preached to us. What are you sorry about? I know Jesus. I have hope in the Lord. My death is going to be a release from this life and the pain and the suffering. She said to me, no. We're going to celebrate together. We're going to celebrate together. You know, I was told off by so many of those Jamaicans in my last church, you know. The one man I just arrived there, he was a deacon and he was he had a prostate cancer and he wouldn't have anything, and I thought I'll go and put this man straight, you know, I'll go and tell him that he really must take what's on offer. So I went. And this dear man, Mr. Wright, he just looked at me and he smiled. He said, "William, I placed my hands in Jesus' hands. He can heal me. If he wants to take me, I'm ready." He says, "Why are you so worried? Surely you have hope." And I felt so small, you know. And I think that's how we've got to see our life in Jesus. He's the hope right through the Old Testament, like a river flowing right through to the cross, where we see Jesus, our hope. But beyond that, hallelujah, on the third day, he rose again, never to die, hallelujah, so that we can hope in him. And he's able to say, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." God's word in the believer is our instruction of life. It gives us hope where there is no hope. It gives us God's word is tangible. It's tangible. We take it and we believe it and we trust it, and God works it out. Hallelujah. I haven't got time to tell you of the verses of scripture that God has given me over my life concerning leaving home and entering ministry when everything was against me, concerning my marriage when Celia's dad was so against our relationship, from changing one church to another. God opened doors by giving me a word of scripture that I took, a tangible word from God, and I knew that God will work it out. And I can just share so much with you, but the time is not there. That's our treasure. That's our treasure, Jesus. If you wander through the Old Testament and you look at all the promises and we come to the treasure, it's nothing more than Jesus. What are you waiting for if you haven't committed your life to Jesus? He is the excitement and the joy of life. He brings hope for the future. He brings joy where there is no joy in our world that we live in now. There's so much that seems to rob us of joy and blessing, etc. But those who put their trust in Jesus are not moved by what happens in the world. Why? Because our hope is beyond this life. It's beyond this life. And nothing can take it away from us. Nothing. That's our treasure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have found my treasure, Jesus in me, the hope of glory. Have you? If not, I would love to pray for you that God just brings joy, hope, and life flooding into your life. Amen.